Today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. Scripture lessons are from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Psalm 70, and the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Today's message is titled, "The Bridegroom is Coming, Salvation is at Hand." From the letter to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at the 13th verse. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about Jesus, ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Here ends the reading from 1 Thessalonians. Psalm 70, for the director of music of David, a petition. Hasten, O God, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May those who seek my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, "Aha! Aha," turn back because of their shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, "Let God be exalted." Yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at the first verse. And this is a continuation of the teaching that Jesus began in Matthew 24. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the ones also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Here ends the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. for you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer and ours. There is a curved glass cabinet in my living room. This curved glass cabinet is well over 100 years old, and it has the original curved glass, as the glass is not perfect, but there's a waviness in it, in the glass. And in the cabinet are trinkets handed down and gathered through the years. There's an old circus wagon that was my grandfather's, Grandpa Wilkins, when he was a little boy. Norwegian carved wooden figures that were my mom's. Karn collectibles, those wood elves that were highly sought after in a rage a couple decades ago. Some collectibles of Heather's. And then there's the World War II communion set that was my grandfather, Grandpa Lee's. And he used as a chaplain during World War II. This very communion set at times was set up on the hood of Jeeps to bring God's good grace and good news to the men who were at the front. Oftentimes, and several times, flying so low in the B-25s to get to take communion to the various places, flying so low in the B-25s that the tips of the props would occasionally hit the tops of the waves, just to avoid detection by radar. Yes, we need to remember those who served in wars to bring freedom and honor, and to those who continue to serve to ensure freedom on this day after Veterans Day. You see, the nature of fallen man, it's still there. For the war that was to end all wars didn't, even though on November 11th, 105 years ago in 1918, at the 11th hour, 11th day of the 11th month in Champagne, France, ceasefire was signed, bringing a close to the Great War. Human nature, sin, soon brought about great destruction again. And to this very day, we see the reality of the fall in human nature. It's repeating itself again. Also in that curved glass cabinet in my little living room is a little oil lamp, an ancient oil lamp that my grandfather, Grandpa Lee, brought back from his time in World War II when he was in Italy. It's an ancient clay lamp, about 4 inches in length, 2 inches wide. On one end is the opening for a wick to be inserted and set in place. And on the other end, there's a depression with a hole in the bottom of the depression to fill the inner cavity of the oil lamp with oil. At the far end is an opening which could have been used to hang it on a hook, this lamp on a hook. And the lamp shows signs it was used, for in the wick area, it's blackened. It was used. My guess, it'd hold about 2 ounces or so of oil. And guessing how those little tea lights can burn, this little lamp maybe burned 2 or 3 hours, depending on the size of the wick and the flame that the wick produced and the quality of oil, too. But I'm just guessing there. But it's old, and it's fascinating. My grandfather brought it back from his service in World War II. And now, have you ever been in a place that's so pitch black dark? Have you been in a kind of place like that where there's no light at all? Summer of 92, I was program director of Camp Frederick over at Rogers, Ohio. The camp offered an adventure camp. You'd go over to Ohio Pile, Pennsylvania to go whitewater rafting on the Yuccahanie River, horseback riding at Lutheran, another Lutheran camp in Prospect, Pennsylvania, and then back to Camp Frederick, and we'd canoe there and do other things there. Now, on our way to Ohio Pile, we stopped at Laurel Caverns because we'd camp in Ohio Pile overnight, but the first adventure was Laurel Caverns. And in the cave tour, there was a point that the guide had us all stand still. Don't move. Stand still. I'm turning the lights off. And it'd give us an opportunity to experience darkness. Lights out. And it was the darkest place I've ever been. I mean, you could smack your nose with your hand and you couldn't see your hand. I mean, it was that dark. And then a moment later, after a little while to just soak in this darkness, darkest place I've ever been, the guy took out one match. and lit that match. And that one little match filled the whole room, this whole cave room, with light. Imagine what a little oil lamp would do in providing light. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. We'd sing that song at summer camp. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning till the break of day. And then that sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, the King of Kings. Then we'd add some silly verses too. Some of you might like these and chuckle with them too. Give me oil for my Ford, keep me trucking for the Lord. Or give me gas for my Chevy, keep my testimony heavy. How about this one? Give me sauce for my taco, let me witness in Morocco. Or give me wax for my board, keep me surfing for the Lord. I mean, we'd add other creative words. There are other verses too. But give me oil in my lamp. You know what that's really a cry for? Is give me the Holy Spirit. Keep me burning for the Lord. Give me the Holy Spirit. There were 10 in this parable Jesus told. 10 parthenos. Parthenos, that is 10 maidens of the age to be married, and by cultural expectations of a maiden, virgins. These 10 gathered together to wait for the bridegroom to come. All 10 brought lamps. Only 5 were wise and came prepared with extra oil and flasks with them. The Greek adjective translated as wise, it comes from a noun that means that inner mindset that regulates the outward behavior. This Greek noun is phrein, and it's the root, yes, it's the root of the English word diaphragm, phrein. So the English root, you know, diaphragm that regulates your breathing? Well, this Greek noun talks about what's inside of you that regulates your behavior. So being prudent, being sensible, what's inside of them is regulating this prudent behavior. They think ahead. So the 5 were wise. They thought ahead. They were sensible, prudent. The other 5, they lacked this inner mindset to regulate their behavior. And think ahead and prepare? I mean, why? So that's foolish. And the Greek word is actually moros. And that Greek word is the root of our English word moron and moronic. So they just did not think things through. Have you ever met a scattered-brained person? I have. They just don't think ahead. They don't think things through. Don't have the discipline, that inner discipline, to think out and to grasp onto things, what may come. Now, all ten would have been fine in this parable if one thing didn't happen. But it did happen. The bridegroom tarried. Matthew 25, verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Kroizo is the Greek word. It means to delay, to tarry, to linger. I mean, to take time. It's a delay. The bridegroom was delayed. He was taking his time, and the 10 who were waiting became drowsy, fell asleep. All the while, it gives the impression their little oil lamps were burning on into the dark of night. Matthew 25, verse 6. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Even though most translations have "at midnight," it's not in the Greek. The Greek is "in the middle," "in the midst of night." So it could have been a lot later in the midst of the night. I mean, so he comes late. I mean, he's late. So the image from Jesus in this parable is the bridegroom long in coming, coming much later than expected, and the English does not carry the emphasis of the Greek either. The emphasis in the Greek is, "Behold the bridegroom." And then it's followed by a command, "Go forth to meet him." So you have, "Behold the bridegroom. All you who are waiting, behold, the one you're waiting for is now here. Go forth and meet him." Not come out and meet him. No, go forth and meet him. The 10 arose. They trimmed their lamps. The foolish realize their lamps are going out. And without light of their lamps, they can't go forth to meet the bridegroom. Share your oil. Come on, share. Share like. Share your oil with me. You have extra. Share with us. That's the right and proper thing to do, right? Nope, nada. We will not share with you. How unchristian of you, you could say. We will not share with you. Matthew 25, verse 9. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, you go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. There comes a point of individual responsibility in the faith. There comes the time that you are responsible for the faith in you. The five, they came prepared. Five didn't come prepared. Five were responsible for the faith in them. The other five, they went out to buy from the marketplace. And you know what happened? They were locked outside. They missed the moment of meeting the bridegroom and going to the wedding feast. Matthew 25, now beginning of verse 11. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth. That's amen. It's in the Greek, amen. I don't know you. The sir, sir in the Greek is really Lord, Lord, open to us. And the response that came is truly, I say to you, not I do know you. The Lord answers, I don't know you. What's happening here is spiritually, I do not recognize you. And digging deeper into the related Greek words, it comes an aspect that is very interesting. For the related words of this, I don't know you, the related words means of one's household. So in a sense, the bridegroom is saying, I don't recognize you as one of my own. And hence the doors are kept shut and locked. Matthew 25, verse 13, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Therefore means connect the dots. Jesus tells this parable to emphasize the day and the hour is unknown of the end of the age and when Jesus is coming. This parable is a continuation of what began in Matthew chapter 24. The disciples asked Jesus a question. Jesus answers. I begin Matthew 24, verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. How to keep watch? It's a good question to ponder, to ask. How to keep watch? Consider this answer from the letter in Titus. Titus chapter 2. Beginning of verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The doors are shut, and the master says, I don't know you, meaning you are not of my own. And here we have in Titus, purifying for himself a people that are his very own. So you see, preparing, how do you prepare? How do you wait? How do you do this thing? Is live out a life that reflects the faith. For we have this hope of Jesus coming. The grace of God that brings salvation. It changes the heart. such that the heart turns away from earthly, these worldly passions, to focus on heavenly passions, eagerly awaiting that blessed hope of Jesus returning. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, the work of sanctification. In other words, prepare with plenty of oil while you are waiting for the bridegroom. Keep watch. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We wait, we keep watch, and we do this in hope. As written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, pulling from after verse 13, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own words," and I'm jumping down a little bit, "and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. We will be with the Lord forever because we are His very own. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me the Holy Spirit." Yes, oil is associated with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what makes us holy. Pulling from the Large Catechism, the third article on the Apostles' Creed, on the Creed, Luther writes this: "To this article, as I have said, I cannot give a better title than sanctification. And it is expressed and portrayed the Holy Spirit and His office, which is to make us holy. God's Spirit alone is called Holy Spirit, that is, He who sanctified and still sanctifies us. As the Father is called Creator and the Son is called Redeemer, so on account of His work, the Holy Spirit must be called Sanctifier, the one who makes holy. So the Holy Spirit affects our sanctification through the following: the communion of saints, or the Christian church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. In other words, He first leads us into His holy community, placing us upon the bosom of the church, where He preaches to us and brings us to Christ. He makes us His own through the Holy Spirit." Now, going back and starting to tie this together, pulling in the parable of the 10 virgins, waiting for the bridegroom to come, it's a very common image for those hearing the parable. Most, at one time or another, very likely, have been in such a wait and a processional of a bridegroom and the wedding feast and all those things that go on. Being prepared is expected. The five being unprepared and having to go get more oil took them away from the bridegroom and joining in the procession. They missed the opportunity. They were taken away because they were unprepared. The unprepared placed themselves on the outside, missing the bridegroom's procession. Or, using the imagery of oil and the Holy Spirit, these five foolish ones were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Hence, they were not sanctified, and they were not Christ's own. And that's why He says, "I don't know you. You are not my own." Are you getting these things tying together a little bit? The five unprepared placed them on the outside, placed them as unknown. The doors were closed. They had no place in the bridegroom procession, nor will they have any place in the wedding banquet. The door will stay closed. The door stays shut, as mentioned earlier, in connection with that nuance in the Greek. "You are not of my household. I do not recognize you as my own." No oil, no Holy Spirit, no sanctification, not recognized, not in the family. These are images of judgment, images of separation. They appear to be contrary to the good news of Jesus Christ, contrary to the gospel of Christ, along with Christ's bidding, "Come to me, all you are weary and heaven laden." Yet these words, "keep watch," makes clear the reality of the Lord's salvation in Jesus Christ. The need for salvation is real. The need for forgiveness of sins and that deep change in a person's soul that is needed. The transformation that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification, making us fit for heaven, making us Christ's own. The connection of the bridegroom coming and salvation is at hand is part and parcel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He will come again. He will come again. Psalm 70, verse 1. Hasten, O God, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. Jumping down to verse 5 of Psalm 70. Yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. That's keeping watch. Being prepared so that you will be with the Lord forever. Psalm 70, verse 4. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, let God be exalted. Seeking is keeping watch. Being rejoicing and gladding is keeping watch. And the salvation is coming. Love the Lord's salvation. Be filled with this hope and keep watch. Keep watch knowing the hope we have in the coming bridegroom. Know it so well, it is well with your soul. For the finished work of the cross has redeemed you. The finished work of the cross has redeemed you. And the work of the Holy Spirit has sanctified you and continues to work in you your sanctification. It's a lifelong journey. And for some of us, especially if I look in the mirror, I know it's a bigger work for the Holy Spirit than for some others. I mean, the work of the Holy Spirit continues in us. This journey of life. Still, it is the finished work of Christ on the cross. The finished work of Christ on the cross, the crucified and risen Son. This is real history, and it is the reality of the faith of the church. Given by grace, received by faith, and this is through the work of the Holy Spirit. It fills all of us who are of the church, of His own, and it fills us with hope. So we can say, yes, it is well with my soul. And we are then the wise. We are overflowing with this oil of the Holy Spirit. The bridegroom comes. Salvation is at hand. It is yours, for you are His own. Amen and amen.